move over next to the window, so I'm on the aisle, blocking anyone's approach. From her flushed cheeks and pensive expression, it's clear she's unsettled. "Are you all right?" I say. She leans in, so I inhale the lingering scent of the shower gel. Her eyes dart back and forth, confirming that no one's near us. Then she squeezes my arm. "Thank you for stepping in just now." Her hand leaves my arm and grips the armrest between us instead. It angers me that Brock scared her. Tasting his own blood is exactly what he needs at this point. Words of warning clearly weren't enough to convince him to leave her the fuck alone. "Hey," I whisper. "You never need to worry when you're with me. As I said, I'm not going to let anyone hurt you." Cameron nods and I squeeze her leg for emphasis. Her hand moves next to mine, so our pinkies touch. Touching her in public is dicey, since someone will eventually walk by, but for now I leave my hand on her leg. Curling my pinky around hers, I link them. My gaze travels up the aisle to my aunt and uncle. What the hell is driving Brock to act like a man obsessed? He's got plenty of young co-eds to exploit. His preoccupation with Cameron has to be about something more than sex, which means I need to consider the possibility that he was the one who tried to break into her place. By her own admission, she's been investigating the Dark Knights. Has she stumbled onto something the alums don't want her to know? I frown at that possibility. I make a mental note to inform the DK alumni that no one is to touch Cameron Reynolds. Concerns about her need to come to me. Thoughts of handling her bring back memories of our morning together. Fucking her hard and deep was an unparalleled pleasure. It's the way I would have spent the entire day if we hadn't been scheduled to fly back. There's much more to come at Hayworth House. I'm glad I have her another 11 days. I wish it was more. Eric wakes up and, after rubbing the sleep from his eyes, stands and makes his way into the aisle to talk to Shane. At this point, Eric's nose is more swollen and bruised than my ankle. It's clearly broken. With the wild lion's mane of hair, he looks like a Viking fresh from battle. My hand moves up Cameron's leg until my ring finger can stroke the seam of her jeans where it runs between her legs. The moment she feels me touch the fabric covering her pussy, her gaze fixes on my profile. I don't look at her, but my finger pushes against her so she knows exactly what I'm thinking. Her brow furrows. "You really want to do this here? Someone could see? I'll move it if I need to." She shifts, squirming slightly. Looking at me through the wisps of her lashes, she gives me a curious look. "What's the point of touching me if you can't go any farther?" My gaze flicks to her pretty face, which is now flushed. "I like touching you. Do you want me to put a blanket over your lap so I can put my fingers inside you?" With a wide-eyed expression, she shakes her head. My mouth curves into a small smile. I like both sides of her, the part that's full of tart sarcasm, and this innocent part that's mine to corrupt. I lean closer so my mouth is near her ear as I whisper, "I think you would like it. Having me inside you makes your pussy cream like a French pastry." Touching my tongue to my top lip, I watch a deepening blush appear on her cheeks. "Be quiet," she whispers. Her hand grabs mine and tries to push it away. My muscles contract to keep her from succeeding. "Think you can stop me, nymph?" She blinks, glancing down at our hands and then up to my face. "I think the flight attendant is going to see what you're doing. She's coming this way." I move my hand to the armrest, saved by outside forces. A slow smile forms. "I had a great time this morning," I whisper. "When we get home, I'm going to fuck you so hard and so long that afterward you'll be too weak to stand." Our eyes lock, and her lips pout. It's very French and very tempting. As I continue to stare at her, her lips part and her tongue moistens them. That's pretty too, and makes my hunger even sharper. I want to feel her tongue in my mouth. "Mr. Hayworth?" I have to drag my gaze away from Cameron. The flight attendant smiles and nods to the plate she's holding, which contains a lobster roll, chips, and assorted fruit. That's for her. Cameron reaches out and takes the dish with shaky fingers. I'll take a plate of oysters and an oyster cocktail. Offer Mr. Moran the same.
Yes, sir.
The flight attendant moves to the galley. Oysters, Cameron murmurs. That's the last thing you need. A wicked smirk emerges. Nervous? I'd be a fool not to be. My hand drifts back to her inseam. The flight can't be over soon enough, so I can get her alone. After the flight, I say goodbye to everyone except Brock. When I take Shane aside, Avery strolls over to talk with Cameron. That pairing may be a bad idea. Shane is blatantly affectionate with Avery. That will never be a reasonable expectation for Cameron to have. Our relationship has to remain covert. Even if it didn't, public displays would never be how I roll. My attention remains on the two young women as they stroll ahead of us. Following my gaze, Shane says, Avery doesn't want her to feel like an outsider. That's kind of Avery, I guess, but Cameron is an outsider. Probably best that she doesn't forget it. A pair of golf carts zoom toward us to provide transport to the hangar. I stop short of them and turn toward Shane. Brock wasn't drunk or high this morning. His trying to corner Cameron on a flight where I'm three rows away means he's desperate to talk to her. I wonder why. Shane's head never turns, but his eyes move to the left, toward where my aunt in her knit ladies who lunch suit and pearls stands next to her husband. Brock holds an ice pack on his mouth, lowering it only to talk with her. The bleeding has stopped, but even from 20 feet away, I can see it needs a stitch. Good. Let the son of a bitch spend some time dealing with the consequences of ignoring my warnings. He's not stupid, so yeah. There's something, Shane says. Brock's gotten more bold and more reckless over the years as he's gotten more power from my grandfather, but he usually only gets wild when there's no one from the family around. He knows who butters his bread. He could be feeling a sense of urgency. Harrison's amping up your involvement in the business, and there's only a year and a half left before you graduate. Shane's thumb strokes his jaw. Do you think Brock's trying to provoke you into doing something he can use to undermine you? His actions prompted you to knock him down and pop him in the mouth. We covered it pretty well, but someone may have seen. And behind closed doors, he can certainly spread the story. Could he be building a case that you're hot-headed and impulsive, not ready for more responsibility? Or even that you're unfit to lead? My gaze cuts to Brock as he gets into a golf cart with his wife. Maybe. But last night he seemed out of his mind. That certainly makes him look bad, too. Making noise in a hotel like a drunken college student? That wouldn't fly for me, let alone for my uncle at his age. My grandfather was pissed. Shaking my head slowly, I frown. I don't think it was an act. As something calculated, last night doesn't make sense. The shit he said was obscene, in a way that would definitely have come back on him if I'd had my cell on to record him. So no, he wouldn't have spoken like that if he'd just been trying to bait me. Right. Well, watch yourself around him. Yeah. Always. Narrowing my eyes, I purse my lips. At this point, my concern isn't for myself. It's for Cameron. He won't get to her while she's with me, but she's not going to be with me forever. I wonder what his end game is. I don't think he's just after sex. He wants that, but it can't be the only thing. Think she has evidence of something he's done? Or plans to do? Shane says. I don't know. Someone tried to break into her place. Could have been him or someone he hired. I'll go through the electronics she has at my place to see what I can uncover. Shane runs a hand through his hair. I reached out to the Dark Knights who were at GU at the same time Brock was. No one's offering useful intel. Shane? Avery calls, shielding her eyes from the sun. She stands next to a cart that's idling. Are you guys coming? Yes, I call back as we start to walk over. Our investigation into my uncle can wait. First things first, time alone with Cameron with no game looming and no distractions.
Chapter 23. Declan. When we get back to my place, I dismiss Briggs for the night. She'll be less inhibited if we're alone, which is what I want. Once he's gone and she's in her lingerie, every thought slides to the background. For months, I made everything about football and went the whole time without getting laid. Making up for lost time is my only priority tonight. Cameron sits on the guest room bed, and I join her. Dragging her toward me causes a squeak of alarm as she falls onto her back. Her pink silk nightgown rides up to her waist, revealing legs and a belly that are delicately sculpted. Before she has time to get her bearings, I pull her over my thighs. The pink thong leaves her pretty ass unprotected. My leg moves over hers, so she's trapped. Then I slap her ass lightly several times, bringing a blush to her cheeks.
Why?
To warm you up. I spank her more firmly, laying down discipline until her skin brightens to a hot flush. She squirms and tries to pull herself free and over the edge of the bed. I turn my body so her head and shoulders dangle over the floor. With my left hand, I grab her wrists and pin them against her back. Her writhing against my cock sets fire to my groin. Pausing, I squeeze her ass possessively, enjoying the heat soaking into my palm. When I resume, my rhythm is slower. Her twisting slows and becomes more sensual. Her hips circle, grinding against me. This is a cadence she likes, so I continue until she starts to groan. I move my leg and slide a hand between her thighs. Her breath catches and then releases as I push the panties aside to get my fingers against the soft petals of her sex. She's wet, and her cream coats my fingers. Fuck yes. I burrow my fingertips deeper until I'm against her clit and cupping her sex. Her legs loosen to give me room, and she raises her ass. That's it. This is the perfect way for her to beg for more. I rub slowly, enjoying the sight of her grinding down against my hand. A soft moan escapes her lips, making me even harder. Wanna come, nymph? Breathlessly, she continues to move, ignoring my question. I cock my wrist so my hand moves away from her pussy. Her frustrated little growl causes me to smile. She twists, but it's useless.
Declan, she rasps, answer my question, please.
My smile, which she can't see, widens. My fingers dip between her lower lips and stroke, then retreat. Her outraged cry is louder this time. Behave, or I'll stop altogether. She falls still. Do you want to come?
Yes.
She hisses. Yes, what?
Yes, please.
Smiling, I tip my head back. She's still innocent and new, despite all I've already done to her. Yes, sir. Or yes, master. She shudders.
Yes, please.
You don't want to call me sir when you beg. That's grounds for punishment. My tone is teasing, but when I start to spank her again, there's no lightness in it. As her ass turns beet red, she bucks and cries out. Dragging my fingertips over the sensitive, swollen flesh of her ass makes her writhe deliciously. My hand pushes back between her legs, rubbing the damp spot on her panties.
Please, more, sir.
The words are whispered so faintly I almost don't hear them, but they carry the sweetness I'm looking for. I push a thumb into her. Spread your legs. By now you should know to open for me when I touch you. She shivers and obeys. My fingers find her slippery clit, and I pinch it slowly before I resume my hard pressure against it. Within seconds, her body returns to its singular purpose. Her red ass bobs like a fishing lure. My teeth ache to bite it. As her groans become louder, I push a thumb into her asshole. She's too far gone to do anything but come, with her thighs trembling uncontrollably. I love that being spanked makes her hot and ready for sex. Bringing my fingers to my mouth, I suck on the tangy juice from her pussy before I lift her off my lap. I stand and drop her on the bed, and then turn her over so she's face up. Pulling her head to the edge, I stare down at her. I shrug my bathrobe off and shove my boxer briefs down, letting my cock spring free. I put my right thumb on her lower lip and slide it forward. She sucks it, which almost brings me to my knees. Fuck.
a natural little nymph of the non-mythical kind. I push down on her jaw to open her mouth and slide my cock in. Gliding over her tongue is heaven. I close my eyes and fuck her throat in steady thrusts. When I push deep, she starts to turn her head. I put a hand on her throat, holding her in position. Her hands reach above her to press against my stomach. I thrust harder, forcing her to accept my cock as deep as it'll go. When I pull back, she's choking on her gasps. I'm craving more, but I remind myself that she's new to rough treatment during sex. I pull out to stroke myself off. Her eyes stare up at me from her upside-down position. Mouth open, I say. A good girl drinks. Her lips part, but not as widely as they should. I tap my fingers against her cheek in warning. She opens more, showing me a waiting tongue. When I come, I fill her mouth in steady jets. Her throat convulses as she swallows, and her lips close briefly, causing some of my cum to drizzle on her lips and jaw like cake icing. Mmm, I groan softly. She starts to wipe her face, but I grab her hands and pull them away. The dawning in her eyes is followed by a bright flush to her cheeks. She licks her lips and as much of her chin as she can manage, then swallows slowly. It's so fucking hot. Her gaze is trapped in mine as I slide a hand into the top of her nightgown to cup her breast. I bend forward so our breath mingles. Well done. Be a good girl and suck me clean. Declan, she whispers, starting to shake her head. My fingers pinch her nipple, and her body arches involuntarily. Come on, I say. Her brows furrow, but she opens her mouth and raises her head to suck the head of my cock. Her tongue swirls sweetly and then licks the slit before she drops back onto the bed. I pinch her nipple again. A small tweak to tease her. Flip around on the bed so your head is on the pillow. Pulling my boxer briefs back in position, I glance at her body. Do you want to take a nap? No. I toss a couple pillows against the headboard and sit next to her, reclining against them. I'm staying because I'm going to fuck you again. Again? How many times? Until I can't get it up anymore. Lie on your belly and raise that nightgown to your waist. Why? She asks suspiciously. It doesn't matter. Go on, or I'll turn you over myself. Defiance sparks in her eyes, which makes the corners of my mouth quirk. Keeping her eyes on my face the entire time, she rolls onto her stomach. I reach down and pull the nightgown up so her ass is on display. I want to look at it while it's still red from the spanking. Giving it a small pinch makes her squirm. She moves her hips so it's harder to reach her. Tapping the mattress next to me, I frown at her. Get back over here. Right now. Why are you being like this? She inches back. Like what? Issuing so many orders. Wasn't I always like this in bed? No. Or at least you weren't as aggressive about it. I shrug. You were a virgin. Now you're not. She rests her temple on her right forearm as the other hand goes down to touch her warm ass. How much rougher do you think you're going to get? I slide her hand off her ass cheek and close my fist around her fingers. That's a pointless question. Why don't you ask something of consequence? Her brows pinch together. Such as, am I taking your body's reaction into account as I do things? The answer is yes. That's all you need to know. You are so arrogant. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you're not the mind reader you think you are? Not when your pussy's so wet it coats my dick like I dipped it in a bowl of cream. Her face colors, and she purses her lips. I smirk. You ought to tell me I'm wrong, but you can't. I wink at her. You're welcome. She pulls her hand away from me and curls it under her chest. I move my hand next to her shoulder and open my palm. Put it back. Cameron glares at me. Put your hand back. She shakes her head until I reach under her. Cameron moves her arms to evade capture. For about 30 seconds, there's a tussle. It ends with her trapped beneath me in a prone position, with both her arms outstretched and pinned to the mattress. It also ends with me being hard again. My erection rests on her thong.
in the crevice between her ass cheeks. Of course I'm tempted to take that last hole, especially since she's taunting me with her defiance.
Not yet.
She's just learning to take you in front. I jerk her panties off and use them to tie her wrists behind her back. Then I raise her hips and drive into her pussy. She struggles and whines at first, but she also pushes her ass back against me. Yes, let's play. Just like this. I tease her clit as I fuck her, and within minutes, her tight pussy spasms around my cock. As always, that sends a spike of intense pleasure through me. This time, though, her orgasm doesn't threaten to pull me over the edge. I'm not even close to coming yet, since it hasn't been that long since I've gotten off, but God, this feels good. Since she's gotten her release, she starts to squirm restlessly. My grip on her tightens. My stamina is going to be tough on my little nymph tonight, since it means she's going to be face down for a long time, with my cock thrusting into her tight pussy and my hips slapping against her punished ass. I love football, but I've finally found a game I like even more. Taking Cameron Reynolds over and over until my balls are empty and I've got nothing left to give her.
Chapter 24. Cameron. Declan lies on his back with his head propped on a pillow, catching his breath. I rest on my side with my head propped on my palm, looking at the faint pink line on my wrist from where it was tied up for almost an hour. I came so hard and so many times that the muscles of my lower abdomen are sore like I've been doing crunches. Between my legs, though, is where I'm the most sore. Right at the opening, I'm tender and throbbing. I should take a bath and then put some lotion or something on me. Let's do that, he says, leaning over to give me a kiss on the mouth. By the relaxed set of his shoulders and the slow movements he makes, it's obvious he's finally sated. It takes a lot to get him this way. I climb from the bed, feeling the dampness on my upper thighs where his cum is still spilling out of me. My nipples tighten. That should not turn me on, but it does. He gets out of bed and grimaces. Your ankle? It's better today, but I need to hit it with some more anti-inflammatory meds. Let's take a bath first.
A bath together?
Yeah. Why not?
Declan precedes me into the guest bathroom and turns on the water to fill the clawfooted tub. Then he opens the drawers of the cabinet under the sink. Raising a speckled bath bomb, he sniffs it. Not those, I say, catching his arm before he starts to unwrap it. He glances at me.
Why not, nymph?
Glancing down meaningfully, I say, stings. His gaze drops to my pussy and he nods. Pulling his cock from his briefs, he scrutinizes it. His thumb brushes a spot where there is a faint tinge of pink to the dried secretions.
Are you in pain?
Shaking my head, I shrug. Sore. His arms wrap around me, and he hugs me to him. He murmurs something in French. What?
Nothing.
He kisses the top of my head.
Such sweetness is hard to resist.
Releasing me, he turns to the cabinet and closes the drawer on the bath salts and oils.
We'll skip all the fluff.
He strips off his boxer briefs and climbs in the tub. When he's submerged to the waist, he spins the dials to stop the water and beckons me to get in. I do, sitting with my back against his chest. His arms encircle me and rest across my chest as we recline in the warm water. It's incredibly intimate. We're quiet for a few moments, and I like the way it feels. My toes curl absently against the drain. I'm surprised you hit your uncle on the plane.
So was he.
Declan murmurs softly.
He's got some fucking balls on him these days.
Broad shoulders shrug, and my eyes linger on his outstretched legs. Every inch of him is beautifully made. It seemed like you and Shane were working together. I glance over my shoulder at his face. A ghost of a smile emerges.
Shane's grandfather taught him to fight. My grandparents allowed me to do martial arts training. But it wasn't as rough or real. My instructors were too careful.
So I had Shane show me what he was learning. Very much street rules, meaning none. After a while, we developed quite a few skills that work well when we're together. We have been outnumbered in fights and still won. You have a security team. What do? Watch? When I was underage, I didn't want my activities reported back to my grandfather, so I snuck out. By the time Shane and I were in our late teens, we could handle ourselves pretty well. I turn onto my side with one hip resting on the tub's bottom, so I can see his face without looking behind me. Do you still give your security guys the slip at times? No, I don't need to. Now, if I want them to leave, I just dismiss them for the night. I haven't done that in quite a while. I'm too busy these days to engage in sketchy shenanigans. And I've got more sense now. As my recognizability increases, it feels reckless to go places without security. His fingers stroke my arm. Sometimes I miss the old days, when I could go anywhere and get as wild as I wanted. Not for the fights, but for the possibilities. There are sex clubs and parties I never got to explore, and now I can't. My finger traces a faint line on his forehead. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. It's fine. Better that than to be without one. He sucks on his lower lip for a moment. Speaking of reckless, my uncle is still trying to talk to you alone. Why do you think that is? Drawing my hands away from him, I shrug. I have no idea. Did you promise him something? No. I mean, we started to make this arrangement. For me to be with you as a payback. I guess he was working some angle to get in on things, but I didn't know that. Is that what you had planned to begin with? No. I didn't plan anything, actually. Other than to confront you after the season was over. It wasn't your idea for me to be your little concubine as a form of retribution? No. His admission stuns me into silence. Declan's thumb rubs my lower lip. The arrangement was Brock's idea. By the time I learned about it, you'd already demonstrated you would consider it, so of course I pressed on. And it's worked out really well. Pulling his hand to my mouth, I bite down on his thumb. I'm sure you think so. You do whatever you want. Doesn't get any easier than that. He smiles and raises his brows in a wry expression. You act like it would be this great with anyone. That's not the case. There's a dynamic between us that works. And you benefit from it as well, both directly and indirectly. When this is over, you'll know what kinds of things you like in bed. I laugh softly. I love how delusional you are about this arrangement. Delusional? Come again? His tone is mock perplexed as he pinches my chin between his thumb and forefinger. Yeah. You've created this narrative where you, the slave owner, are the one who's being generous with his time and experience. I am generous. Do you think many slave owners were concerned about whether the slaves they used for sex enjoyed the experience? He cocks his head and raises an eyebrow, then shakes his head. I'll show you what I mean sometime. Just so you can feel the difference. Resting my head against his chest, I say, pass. He chuckles. Seriously, though. Your body is really responsive. His thumb strokes my arm. Why were you still a virgin? Wrinkling my nose, I frown playfully. I can't tell you. Your ego couldn't take it. A bark of laughter escapes his chest. Is that right? My ego's in danger? Yeah. It's so overinflated, if anyone adds another breath, it'll explode. Declan tips his head back and laughs again. Now I get it. It's complimentary. Tell me anyway. If I believe an explosion is imminent, I'll be sure to think about some of my failures. You have failures? Since when does Declan Hayworth admit a shortcoming? I don't talk about them, but yeah, of course, everyone fails sometimes. Tell me one. No. I want you to see me as bulletproof, so you'll behave the way I want in bed. Ah, that's more like it. I think anyone who can spank as hard as you do will not have trouble keeping girls in line in your bed. Fair enough. All right, let's swap. A truth for a truth. Deal? I nod, watching him as he shifts. Do I detect a trace of vulnerability? Declan draws in a breath and exhales slowly. Let's go for the worst one. The trip during which my mother disappeared into the sea. I was supposed to be on the yacht, but I backed out. There were only going to be adults aboard except me. And I had an opportunity to go to a water park with some other kids instead. My mother wanted me to come with her. Maybe she sensed something. I'll never know. His jaw clenches. I was a selfish little prick, and the universe taught me a brutal lesson. Act like you don't care about something, and life may take it away from you forever. Oh, God. He blames himself for her death? My hand darts out to touch his arm. Declan, what happened wasn't your fault. It was a tragedy. One that might have been avoided if I'd been on board. His expression is so grim, it's heartbreaking. I don't think you should hold yourself responsible for that. You were just a child. Your turn. In an instant, I realize nothing anyone says will take away his guilt and pain. I want to try, but there doesn't seem to be much point. He's confessed, and now he's determined to change the subject. Exhaling a small sigh, I say, I don't think that was a failure on your part at all. But okay, my turn. You remember how in your grandparents' library, we had a bit of a moment? His expression eases. Did we? He quips. Good to know it was mutual. I love when he lowers his guard and jokes with me. That's something I only ever see him do with Shane. So it makes me feel like part of his inner circle. For me, that near hookup in the library was so intense, I say. I'm sure you've done that with others, but I had no idea that a guy could be the way you were. I liked flirting with you and being swept right off the floor. My stomach dropped, as though I was on a roller coaster. The things you did, the spanking and the way you touched me and the dirty talk, It's not that I wanted to be forced, of course not. But your confidence really overwhelmed me. You were so beautiful, physically. I lick my lips, hesitating. We hit a point where I wanted to keep going. I wanted to have sex with you. It was such a rush. I'd never felt that way before. His expression is thoughtful. The person you were waiting for was me. No, not you specifically. Not exactly. That rush, right? The rush you got with me. You've felt it again, right? The past few days? Yes, of course. Sort of? Sort of, he smirks. All right. Challenge accepted. I'll try to up my game and make things more intense. Oh my God. No thanks. His hand slides up to my throat, giving it a small squeeze that's both sexy and menacing. You can't say I'm underperforming and expect me not to react. I roll my eyes. I would take it back, but I don't need to, since you know I was lying. Sex with you has been super intense and exciting. He smiles and his hand moves down to cup my breast. We're a California wildfire. It only takes a tiny spark to set us off. And once the fire starts, it's almost impossible to put out. Has to burn to the end. Yeah. Out of control and powerful. Really fucking powerful.
Declan and I go our separate ways in the house. I straighten the guest room and then head to the library with my laptop, planning to work. I sit in a chair across from the sexy nymph painting. For a few minutes, I'm distracted by it. At first glance, she doesn't look like me, with her sable hair and cherry lips.
but her skin tone and the pink nipples atop small breasts are similar. Her smooth features suggest she's young. The model may have been in her late teens, like me. The way she's wading among olive-green lily pads and ripples of dark water implies she's more dangerous than her innocent expression appears. Is this how Declan sees me? My phone rings, and I glance over at my sister's face. Setting my laptop aside, I grab the phone and swipe to answer. Hey, Tay, what's up? Movement in the doorway reveals Declan. He's drinking a 10-ounce green smoothie shake. Yuck. There's a price for being so hot and ripped, and it comes in the form of disgusting health food drinks. Hey, Cammy, I need to ask you something. Her tone is halting and concerned. Turning my shoulder so my back is to Declan, I hope he takes the hint. Yes? Did you make an arrangement with Brock Stowe about me? I stiffen. Of course not. So, Mom got an email from the bank about the mortgage, thanking us for the payment and saying we have 6 months before the next one is due. 6 months. And she didn't pay anything yet. Not even this month. What the hell? My heartbeat kicks up a notch. That's strange, I say cautiously, my head turning slightly to catch a glimpse of Declan over my shoulder. He's still in the hall, though no longer right in the doorway. Yeah. We thought maybe there was an error in our favor, which we didn't even want to mention. But then Brock contacted me about a private party he expects me to work. When I asked for details, he implied the main attraction would be me, in very little clothing. Screw him, I hiss through clenched teeth. And no, of course I would never make any kind of sketchy agreement with Stowe that involves you. Ignore him. Or you know what? Call the police and tell them he's harassing you. We can't do that. Then everything would come out. I blow out a breath, shaking my head. He's a fucking asshole. Just block his number. Maybe. Her tongue clucks. But if Brock didn't sort things out with the bank in exchange for something from me, then what did happen with the mortgage? Don't worry about it. Of course we're worried. What's going on? You took off right after Christmas, and then you were in South Carolina for the GU game. Who arranged that, and why? Not Brock, I can tell you that. I have to go, but I'll call you back later. Tapping to end the call, I turn toward Declan. Seeing my call is done, he returns to the doorway. I heard you mention Brock, he says. What's going on? Your uncle? Even after needing his lips stitched from your punch, is still harassing my family. Did you have him settle the mortgage for the next few months? And if so, why would you do that? I don't want him involved in my family's business. He expects way too much in return. I covered your mom's mortgage. Brock had nothing to do with it. Oh, wow. Declan helped out without saying a word, which was cool of him. Too bad in this case it was the wrong thing to do. My voice softens. You didn't need to do that. You and I only agreed that you would forgive the debt. Now my mom and sister are wondering what's going on. The corners of his mouth curl down. You're welcome for the grace period your mom clearly needs. Yes, it was generous, thank you. But I'd prefer that you talk to me before making big gestures. Rubbing my temples, I draw in a long breath. Declan scowls, clearly not happy with my lack of gushing gratitude. He enters and leans against a bookshelf a few feet away. If Brock wasn't involved, why is he acting like he was? No idea, Declan says curtly. Well, you need to find out. Pursing my lips, I frown too. I'm so sick of fucking Brock Stowe. Now, because he can't get to me, he's going after my sister? That cannot happen. But I don't know how to stop him. Standing, I clutch my laptop to my chest. A condition of our arrangement was that your people would stop contacting my family, Declan. Calm down. Don't tell me to calm down. Brock is acting like my sister has to repay the debt I'm already repaying. I want him kept away from my mom and sisters. I blow out a breath. If he implies to my mom that I made an arrangement that involves sex, she will lose her mind. Declan scowls. Listen, I never agreed to run interference for your entire family. I said I would make the threat of foreclosure go away, which I did. Your mother and sister are the ones who contacted Brock in the first place, remember? It's their fault he's got their numbers. Yeah, but if my mom had known he would want sex as payment, she would have taken his head off. I shake my head, causing a lock of hair to fall over my eyes. I flip it back impatiently. I don't want her pressing me for answers about why the mortgage was paid off for months. I won't be able to control what she does if she finds out what's really going on here. The darkness in his expression deepens to black. You'd better not be threatening me. We have an NDA. I would never expose us. But if she figures it out because of something Brock says, there will be trouble. Would your uncle say something to her? Out of spite or frustration? Tell them to block his calls. Say you're working as my PA. I don't think she'd believe it. That's her problem. It's our problem. If he implies I sold my virginity to pay a debt, she will demand to know what's going on. She's not in a position to demand anything. This is none of her fucking business. The anger in his voice makes me draw back. Men and women make private arrangements all the time. You're an adult. Remind her of that. A spark of fury and panic rises up. You don't get it. No, I don't. Tell her whatever the hell you think she needs to hear. Or tell her to mind her own goddamned business. The way some women spiral is ridiculous. His condescension only adds to my fury. Fuck you, I snap, stalking across the room and out of the library. Fuck me, he says darkly as he trails after me. You need to calm down, and then I expect an apology. I don't even break my stride. Fuck you and your apology. Rushing down the hall, I feel an increasing sense of panic. Declan is not even going to try to intervene. Brock is manipulating Taylor the way he was trying to manipulate me. Who knows what he might pull? If Brock shows up at my mom's, there's no security detail. There's no Declan-Shane duo to punch him in the mouth to get him to go away. So what are my mom and sister supposed to do? I realize I have to go home. If I'm there, at least I can stop anyone from letting him inside or going out to talk to him alone. In fact, if I'm there and Brock shows up, I can threaten to call the police and say he's stalking me. That should get him to back off. 1,000 more thoughts rage through my mind as I enter the guest room and grab my suitcase from the closet. Throwing it on top of the bed, I glance around, wondering if I can fit everything inside. No fucking way are you leaving, Declan says. I spin around to find him in the doorway. Yeah, I need to go. Declan strides in and jerks my suitcase out of reach. I step closer and grab the edge of my bag. Trying to drag it back to me, I snap, "No one from your circle is allowed to harass my family." Brock is. Agreement broken. "Lower your fucking voice," he barks, yanking the case free. "Who the hell do you think you're talking to?" I glare at him and stalk to the dresser. He sets the suitcase in the corner. Jerking open a drawer, I start to reach in for my clothes. Declan grabs my hand and pulls it away from the drawer. I said no. You don't get to decide, Declan. Our arrangement is that I can leave whenever I want. I just forfeit the money that's left on the contract. I'm doing that. I'm cutting out early. He grabs my wrists and traps them in his hands. No. Jerking my arms, I try to pull free, unsuccessfully. Let go. He shakes his head. His expression ominously dark. You can't do this, I hiss, giving him a mutinous look as I try to twist my arms out of his vice grip. We agreed I could leave early. You can't just change the terms. As I try to find a position to use my body weight as leverage, my foot bangs against his ankle. Declan lets out a grunt of pain and his jaw hardens. He releases my wrists, but blocks the doorway. His breath is ragged. And he looks away he's never looked before, wildly dangerous. Even in the seconds before he punched Brock, his face was a mask of control. Holding out my hands, I shake my head. I didn't mean to hit your ankle. That was an accident. His expression doesn't change. The room is a coastline, and he is a hurricane bearing down on it. One of us should go to a different room, I say. When I stretch my hand toward the door, it's shaking. To give us a chance to cool off. Nice try, he says. His voice bitter, but back to its normal volume. I won't sneak out without talking to you. You're right about that. His arms cross over his chest. After the bath, he put on a gray t-shirt and shorts, which should make him look less imposing, but he looks as big as ever and twice as menacing. Apologize. My voice is intentionally light when I ask, are you going to apologize too? No. But if you apologize, I won't bend you over the end of the bed and punish you. Shuddering, my breath feels like it's been sucked from my lungs. I take several steps backward until my back is pressed against the wall. If you do that right now, I will never forgive you. Who says I care whether you do or not? Our eyes lock. I can't tell if he's bluffing. I'm sorry for banging your injured ankle. I didn't mean to do it. I suck in a shaky breath. And I shouldn't have cursed at you, even if you were being completely insensitive. He scowls, but I can tell he's back in control. His arms drop to his sides, and he doesn't look ready to spring across the room. I'm not the one who is out of line, Cameron. I've protected you from Brock and from foreclosure, as promised. Now, you're demanding that I protect your mom and sister after they lied and blackmailed me? He shakes his head sharply. Try again. I clench my teeth to bite back my urge to argue. Right. I get it. They're not your problem. But they are mine. And if you won't help, I have to do it myself. Do what? Go home. So if Brock shows up, I'm there to at least try to prevent anything bad from happening. No. His black brows draw together in a hard line. You're staying with me. I'll decide what to do about Brock and your family. But you said, enough, he says, clenching his jaw. I just said I'll handle it. Why, though? I ask, confused. Because if Brock and I are in a war, he doesn't get to win. And because when someone challenges me, I don't back down. They back down. Blowing out a breath, I hug myself. And that includes me? It includes everyone. Chapter 25. Cameron. Declan and I are both still angry. He makes a point of telling me the alarm is set so that if a door is opened without disarming it, it will ring throughout the house. In other words, I shouldn't attempt to flee during the night. I hadn't planned to anyway. Taking a rideshare alone at night? Pass. And it's completely unnecessary, since we'll both be out of the house tomorrow for the campus celebrations. I don't sleep well. I'm upset about the fight. Declan shouldn't be forcing me to stay with him, but he also shouldn't have to protect people who did despicable things to him. It's such a mess. The situation also makes me feel terrible because Declan and I were having the best day before Taylor called. Talking with him in the bathtub was special. I like when he confides in me. My sister's call ruined things. In the morning, I enter the kitchen as Briggs is making ginger and orange scones with vanilla icing. While I'm sipping coffee, Taylor calls me. I brace myself for our conversation before I answer. Good morning, she says cheerfully. Wow. What? Hang on, Tay, I say, sliding off the bench in the breakfast nook. Declan strides in, fully dressed and ready for the day. I'm still in a bathrobe, which makes me feel silly. It's his house, not mine. I'm the one who should have dressed before coming to the kitchen. I grab a warm scone and head to the front room. Okay, I'm back, Taylor. How are you guys? Good, much better, she says. Are you? I take a sip of the dark roast. Why? Declan sent his friend to see us. It was really cool of him. Shane let us know that Declan doesn't want any money back and considers the matter closed, and that if anyone should try to talk to us about it again, we should ignore them and call him instead. He'll make sure anyone who hasn't heard yet gets the message that things have been settled. We're really relieved that it's over. I take a small bite of my scone and chew. Even as angry as he was, Declan sent Shane to my mom's house to calm their nerves, and Shane, unexpectedly, made them feel safe, rather than trying to scare them into silence. Shane did ask a lot of strange questions, Taylor continues, like whether I'd been in touch with Brock Stowe since the Hamptons party. I wasn't, by the way. In case Declan asks you, Mom was the one who met with Brock Stowe, not me. I'm silent as I set my scone on its dish. About Declan, Taylor adds, do you think you'll bump into him? Maybe. I'd like to thank him personally. Plus, it would be good for the new notable events branch here in Boston to have connections with the wealthy GU elite. I was thinking that maybe I'd come to campus tonight or tomorrow. The thought of Taylor trying to thank Declan, who is still furious at her, makes me cringe. And networking for the events business, double cringe. He has enough people trying to use his current cachet. Campus is going to be packed, I say. No one's allowed to be here tonight without a parade pass. Do you have some family passes? No, I lie. I gave them to one of my housemates whose extended family is in town. Okay, well, that's fine. There will be other nights. He'll probably have a million people trying to talk to him tonight anyway. No doubt. He's always in demand. But especially now. Right. Right. Well, maybe the second or third weekend in January? Maybe, I say. Talk to you soon. Okay, Cammy. Talk soon. The call ends, and I drop my phone in the robe's pocket. Tightening the tie on my bathrobe, I return to the kitchen. I need to acknowledge that Declan did what I needed him to do and that I appreciate it. The scone and coffee were amazing, Briggs, I say. Thank you. Briggs smiles. Of course. Declan, who's reading on an electronic tablet, doesn't look up. I grab a small bowl of berries and sit next to him. Morning. His gaze rises for a second. Morning, Cameron. It's not an unfriendly tone, but it won't win any prizes for warmth either. That omelet looks great, I say. Declan stares at his tablet, saying nothing. I'll make you one, Briggs says. No, I'm okay. No additional eye contact from Mr. Billionaire Boss. Unbelievable. Is this how his people operate when they're mad at each other? Frosty silences? Well, I'm not going to be ignored. He's insisting I stay with him? We need to clear the air. I glance at the remains of Declan's omelet. Are you done? The only indication that he's still pissed is the way his jaw muscles pop as he silently clenches his teeth for a second. Finally raising his eyes to look at us, Declan moves the plate in front of me. Briggs, another fork. And I'll take that French 75. Briggs sets a fork and linen napkin next to my right hand and then leaves. Thanks for sending Shane to Boston, I say softly. Shane was already in Boston. Declan's tone continues to be cool, calm, and condescending. He and Avery stayed over after the flight. Well, thank you for sending him to my mom's to reassure them. He steadies my face as though he can read it as well as his tablet. You're welcome. Crushed ice has nothing on his tone. You're still angry at me for yelling? Among other things. Briggs returns with a bottle of gin and mixes two fancy cocktails. He serves them in champagne flutes, with a curl of bright yellow lemon rind hanging from the rim. I take a sip just to be polite. The cocktail is like a fizzy herbal lemonade, fresh and crisp, but also with a serious punch of alcohol. I don't drink, I tell Briggs. But if I did drink, I'd drink these. It's excellent. I smile, making an effort to be charming since Briggs is being nice. Pour us some sparkling juice with a splash of champagne, Briggs. It's early for a toast, but we won't have time again today. Briggs takes my cocktail for himself and makes me a nearly virgin one. When we all have drinks, Declan says a few words in French, and he clinks my glass and Briggs's. Joining them, I drink my entire juice spritzer. "Congratulations, Declan." "And to you," he says, sliding his tablet over, where the front page of the Daily Dispatch is loaded. There's a Palmetto Bowl picture of Declan and Sorensen smiling at each other over the heads of a mass of celebrating players and fans. Above the picture, the headline screams, "Unstoppable, GU wins." And under that bold type, in smaller print, are two words I've been dying to see since I got to Granthorpe. Cameron Reynolds. My hand flutters up to cover my mouth and my eyes blur with tears. I didn't expect to get emotional, but my heart does a jig in my chest.
"Give us a minute, Briggs," Declan says, his voice softer than it was.
"I came to GU because of Heinrich. And he's so hard to impress." I rub my eyes quickly and shrug, still looking at the Dispatch's front page. Glancing up, I meet his eyes. "It's not like winning the Palmetto Bowl, but it's a big deal to me."
"I know.
Thanks for including me in the toast." He nods.
"Don't threaten to leave again."
Blowing out a breath, I wince. "I'm sorry about yesterday," I say softly. "I was upset and worried. But you can be such a jerk. A very intimidating one when you're really mad."
"Irrelevant. Do not threaten to leave again."
"Why do you even care?" I whisper. "There are girls lined up across campus, ready to fall to the ground and worship at your feet." Declan remains silent, watching me until I feel like squirming. "Okay. I'll stay till the end," I promise. His watch beeps and he frowns at it.
"They have me scheduled almost all day."
My hand reaches out to touch his arm. "You won back-to-back championships. Don't you feel like celebrating?"
"I do," he says. "Just not the way they want."
"Then to hell with them, whoever they are. Have champagne cocktails in your kitchen all morning if that's what you feel like doing. You earned it."
"When I signed on to do these things, I didn't know I wouldn't want to. I didn't know you'd be here. And that I'd want to pour champagne over your naked body and suck it off your skin all morning while I fucked you."
My breath catches in my throat. Men have such a single-minded focus on sex. Which is not to say that I don't like that about Declan sometimes.
"Sounds good, doesn't it?"
He dips his finger in a drop of icy liquor and smears it over my bottom lip before pushing the finger into my mouth. Reflexively, my lips close around his finger and I suck. My lids drop to half closed as he looks at my mouth. Pulling his finger out slowly, he leans forward and licks the sweet glaze from my lips before kissing me. Our tongues do a slow dance that starts a lust-filled burn in my core. When he finally leans back, I sip in air as my head swims.
"Today, when I find a break in my schedule, I'm going to text that I'm coming home. I want you naked and waiting for me on the guest room bed. Understood?"
"Yes. Understood." Declan makes it home only once during the day of interviews and appearances, but he makes the most of it by spilling champagne over my chest and into my navel and licking me from collarbones to thighs. By the time he fucks me and has me deep throat him, I've tasted a lot of champagne myself. After clocking over an hour in my body, he takes a shower and leaves again in a much better mood. Even aside from my own orgasms, I feel happier too. Being in a fight with him was not fun. Outside, the entire day is a celebration of the team's win. I join the festivities in the early afternoon when I'm sure he won't make it home again until after the parade is over. Standing on the path with a bunch of other students, I wave a streamer stick as the line of floats passes. It's a delight for the senses. The band leads the parade, and behind them, the players ride a series of six floats. Declan's on the first one, which has a large papier-mâché knight on horseback with a bronze javelin pointing heavenward. Each float has a knight in a different position. Several of the receivers on Declan's float shoot signed jerseys and programs into the crowd, using some kind of compressed air bazookas. Declan takes signed footballs from a pyramid and fires them out into the crowd, sending them all the way to people in the back with his cannon of an arm. Seeing his arm in action again, people go wild. When he spots me, he smiles and winks, which causes an ill-advised fluttering in my chest. Do not fall for the surly billionaire. That way spells disaster. But in spite of myself, I smile back at him. As the floats amble down the street, confetti bursts from small cannons mounted on their sides, showering us with bits of glittery paper. Soren sits on the last float, and he throws signed plastic Viking helmets with the GU logo, while teammates shoot more signed jerseys. There is good-natured mayhem amongst the drunken crowd, and the wild joy is impossible to resist. People sing and cheer while dancing on the grass. The parade has several mascots wearing knight outfits and riding on horseback. They gallop down the streets, waving banners that read, "Hail to the victors!" The dance team performs their halftime routine on the central lawn for the screaming crowd. People dance frenetically, mimicking the women's moves, which many know by heart by now. When the parade reaches the end of its route, fireworks explode over the river, after which students release paper lanterns onto the mile-long pond that meanders through the campus. Granthorpe has never looked as pretty as it does tonight. A live band starts their set in the quad, and many students stay to dance and drink on the lawn. Others make their way to the student center, where the party will be held. The excitement and joy isn't just driven by the win. We're emerging from the dark tunnel we were trapped in during the months Casanova threatened the campus. We've been through a lot. And now? Better times have arrived. Declan sends me two text messages telling me to come to the VIP party. He's not happy I didn't remain with the bodyguard he assigned to me. I don't think a bodyguard is necessary tonight with such a massive crowd of witnesses around, but I would have kept the guy with me if it hadn't been for two things. First, the man was so somber, he was a total buzzkill and made my friends uncomfortable. One said it was like having her dad watch our every move. And second, I don't want to feel like a prisoner. The security officer was clearly keeping tabs on me for Declan, since he moved in whenever a male friend tried to talk to me. Ridiculous. Since I don't want to start another fight, in my texts to Declan, I claim that ditching my security guy was an accident. I also promise I'm on my way to the party. As I meander along the pond trail, I spot one of the female band members standing at the water's edge with a couple of members from the dance team. The band uniform makes the petite curvy girl look stout compared to the slim dancers, whose uniforms are cut to elongate their bodies. The band girl points at a raft floating in the pond. "Are they white or are they purple?" "They better not be lavender," the dark-haired lady knight says, scowling. When the blonde dancer's head turns to look at her friend, I recognize her profile. It's Eden Buchanan, the team captain. "No, I'm sure they're not," Eden says. "I bet it's a tribute to the missing girls, not to him." As I move closer, I recognize the young woman in the band uniform as Tavi Muñiz. She's the one who headed my campus tour when I transferred to GU.